I spoke about this yesterday, and we'll have to continue to talk about it, because the issue is simply, in one word, governance. And while much is known, everything is known, about the government of Australia, not a lot is known about the Leader of the Opposition, Kevin Rudd. And certainly, much of what is being said in recent times merits investigation. Now, a fortnight ago, on that issue I raised with Peter Beattie yesterday, Peter Beattie was on radio in Brisbane talking about cover-ups. And a listener rang in and asked what Mr. Beattie's answer was to the letter that was delivered to him on the 23rd of this month, which is August, regarding the Heiner affair. On the 23rd of August, Mr. Beattie had delivered to him a statement of concern, signed by five eminent judges, the former Chief Justice of Western Australia, David Malcolm, two retired New South Wales Chief Judges, Jack Lee, now deceased, and Dr. Frank McGrath, two retired New South Wales Supreme Court judges, Roddy Maher and Barry O'Keefe, one of Australia's foremost QCs, Alex Shand, and the legal academic and barrister, Alastair McAdam. They urged Peter Beattie to appoint a special prosecutor to examine the 17-year-old long-running saga known as the Heiner Affair. Now, the Heiner Affair is serious stuff. It was about covering up child abuse, the pack rape of a 14-year-old Indigenous girl. But the documents in relation to this matter were destroyed by the Queensland government in a decision by the Goss cabinet on the 5th of March 1990. When Peter Beattie was asked about this last week on air, and I had less time to talk to him about it 2 days ago, he said, "These documents were shredded under the Goss government, you know, a long time ago, based on Crown Law advice. I've referred the, well, sorry, look, these matters have been referred. They've been investigated by a number of Senate committees, parliamentary committees. All the advice I've ever been given on this matter is that there's no further matter to be pursued." And Peter Beattie continued to mumble his way through. Peter Beattie said they'd been investigated. But Bronwyn Bishop headed a House of Representatives committee, which recommended that, quote, members of the Queensland Cabinet, at the time the decision was made to shred the documents gathered by the Heiner inquiry, should be charged for an offence pursuant to Section 129 of the Queensland Criminal Code Act of 1889. Now, the prominent Sydney QC, David Rofe, has conducted a 2-year audit of this matter, which ran to 3,000 pages and 9 volumes. He concluded there were 67 unaddressed, alleged, prima facie criminal charges against the Goss cabinet and civil servants that needed to be urgently addressed. The girl's been called Alice. She was raped 19 years ago at the John Oxley Youth Detention Centre in the care of the Queensland government, gang-raped by other inmates. Some of the rapists confessed. No charges were pressed. The Goss government ignored her plight. When Russell Cooper ran a National Party government, he directed a former magistrate, Noel Heiner, to inquire into the rape of Alice. She was 14 at the time. That was shut down when the Goss government came to power. The Goss cabinet ordered the shredding of all the documents collected by Heiner. Kevin Rudd was Wayne Goss's chief of staff and subsequently director general of his cabinet office. Kevin Rudd and Peter Beattie both say that the shredding of the documents needed no further investigation. The reality is the shredding of the documents has never been investigated. The girl was not only raped, but denied her legal rights by the Queensland Police. Very recently, she's now a woman, she's been interviewed again by the Queensland Police. But the question is, why wouldn't Kevin Rudd seek an inquiry into the attacks on the girl? Why wouldn't he offer an explanation as to why the documents were destroyed? He had the responsibility for the business of the Cabinet. Are the Queensland Police now capable of fully investigating a matter that they've ignored for so long? How can the views of such senior legal figures as five judges and leading academics and barristers be ignored? Are they saying, which they are, that there's a strong case for bringing charges against those who ordered and participated in the shredding of the Heiner material? And they cite a Baptist pastor, Douglas Ensby. Now, the Ensby story is that he suspected a member of a family in his congregation was being abused and was given pages of notes written by the victim. The family said they'd deal with the issue themselves and asked for the notes back. Ensby guillotined them, which made them difficult to read. He didn't shred them. But the victim went to the police and the assailant confessed. But the police charged Ensby with the destruction of evidence. But Ensby guillotined the notes into strips around 1995, 1996. The case against him came up in 2003-2004. In other words, Ensby stood trial 9 years after the incident. The guillotining occurred 6 years before the police and the courts even got involved with the sexual assault of the girl. But in the Heiner affair, the government and the police were on notice at the time, yet they shredded and disposed of documents for the purpose of preventing their use as evidence. The DPP ruled it was in the public interest to prosecute the pastor. The pastor was found guilty, a criminal for life, and the Queensland government appealed the leniency of his sentence. Yet at the time the Goss government prosecuted Pastor Ensby, it knew that members of the Queensland cabinet and certain civil servants were not charged. Bronwyn Bishop's report recommended a special prosecutor be appointed. That's now been endorsed by five judges, one of the nation's leading QCs, Alex Shand, and one of the nation's finest legal academics, Alastair McAdam. Well, the person who suffered most in all of this is Kevin Lindeberg, a former public sector union official who stood steady at the gate for 17 years, declaring the shredding to have been an illegal act. Peter Beattie established the Ford Inquiry in August 1998 into child abuse, and yet what happened at the John Oxley Youth Detention Centre was ruled out of bounds. More than that, what happened at the John Oxley Youth Detention Centre has never been investigated. When Kevin Lindeberg made a submission to the Ford Inquiry in 1998, he argued that you couldn't separate an investigation of child abuse from the fact that the Queensland government had actually destroyed relevant evidence 9 years earlier, which covered up that same abuse. The inquiry said the terms of reference set by the Beattie government prevented it from looking at the John Oxley issue. So the Ford Inquiry, headed by a former governor, never confronted the reality that all the members of the Goss cabinet who participated in the decision to shred the Heiner documents, five of whom served in the Beattie cabinet, in the opinion of some of the nation's most senior legal figures, could be found guilty of the obstruction of justice. Is this an issue? Kevin Lindeberg has agreed to speak to me. He's the former union official who's pursued all of this. He's on the line. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
Where does Kevin Rudd fit into all of this?
Well, Alan, he was, at the time, the chief of staff, principal advisor to Mr. Goss. At the time, they considered the destruction of the documents. And practice is the chiefs of staff, principal advisors, access the cabinet documents, and they know what's in it just as much as the cabinet members do.
The former Chief Justice, the late Sir Harry Gibbs, advised you that the March 1990 cabinet submission, which led to the shredding of the Heiner inquiry documents, contained sufficient inculpatory evidence to warrant a prima facie charge under Section 129 of the Queensland Criminal Code to be brought against those involved in the shredding. This is a former Chief Justice of the High Court of Australia, Sir Harry Gibbs.
Yeah, one of the leading experts on the Criminal Code.
And in the letter presented to Peter Beattie on the 23rd of August recently, another clutch of legal hotshots talk about their deep concern about the law being undermined.
That's right, yep.
Now, in relation to that prosecution of Pastor Ensby,
yep,
the legal luminaries talked about, quote, an unacceptable application of the criminal law by prima facie double standards by Queensland law enforcement authorities. In other words, the Criminal Code pursued Ensby, but not members of the executive government or certain civil servants for similar destruction of evidence.
Well, Alan, that's been my journey in that I have said that the particular code, 129 of the Criminal Code, did not require judicial proceedings to be on foot before it could be triggered. And for years and years, they ridiculed me. They said, "Oh no, you have to have the court actually on foot. In other words, you have to have a writ in your hand." And what they're saying, Alan, is that you can be put on notice, and as soon as you're put on notice, that's a signal for you to go out and shred everything.
Yes.
Now, I said...
Now, the Queensland Court of Appeal in 2004 agreed with the late Sir Harry Gibbs' advice, didn't he, that the reported facts represented, quote, this is the Court of Appeal, at least a prima facie offence under Section 129 concerning destruction of evidence.
Well, what the Court of Appeal showed was that that the interpretation put forward by all these law enforcement authorities here in Queensland was just absolute nonsense.
That's right. Absolute nonsense. Now, the Queensland government would not cooperate with Bronwyn Bishop's Senate inquiry, and that Senate inquiry recommended that, quote, members of the Queensland Cabinet, at the time that the decision was made to shred the documents gathered by the Heiner inquiry, be charged for an offence pursuant to Section 129 of the Queensland Criminal Code Act of 1989.
Now, that 1899,
sorry.
Over 100 years ago, mate. It's been on the statute books for over 100 years. Yep.
And that's a House, sorry, did I say Senate? It's a House of Representatives committee, Bronwyn Bishop, suggested that charges could follow under other sections of the Act.
Well, it goes to also potentially a conspiracy to pervert the course of justice or attempt to pervert the course of justice.
Right. And then you've got David Rofe, a very reputable QC, a 3,000-page, 9-volume audit of the whole thing, and he says there are 67 unaddressed, alleged, prima facie criminal charges against the Cabinet and civil servants that need to be addressed.
Well, the point is that what you, the judges have said, that the law, this particular code, was so clear that it could never have been interpreted in any other way.
Any other way.
And consequently, they what they're concerned about, it may have been knowingly misinterpreted to advantage the executive. And that's what I've been on about.
That's correct. Now, Wayne Swan, for example, the Shadow Treasurer, was the Secretary of the ALP in Queensland for years. Kevin Rudd was head of the Cabinet Office. And the Queensland ALP have worked hard to avoid scrutiny over any of this for 19 years.
Absolutely.
And there's no concern for Alice or her need to be released from the hell that she's been forced to live with because of the cover-up.
That girl has gone through hell. And may I say, so is my family.
Yeah, your family. I mean, wasn't this scandal categorised by the international community of archivists as one of the 14 great shredding scandals of the 20th century?
That's exactly right, and it's taught in universities throughout the world now.
It is lectured about in universities, University of Michigan, Pittsburgh, Cape Town, Manitoba and British Columbia.
And you see, Queensland's a laughingstock in the international community on this.
I mean, it's been declared by Whistleblowers Australia as one of the nation's 5 most important episodes of whistleblowing.
That's right. I mean, that's their judgment. This is international. This is independent judgment of the community of archivists, and they're concerned about open and accountable government.
That's it.
You can't have that, Alan, if governments are going to be out there willfully destroying documents as soon as they know they're required for court. And you see, that's a straight up and down breach of the doctrine of the separation.
Especially also when the court might have found very significant liability by the government for what happened to that young girl. Now, so the advice of the former Chief Justice, Sir Harry Gibbs, is ignored, of the West Australian Chief Justice, of 2 retired New South Wales Supreme Court judges, of 2 retired New South Wales Chief Judges, of one of Australia's foremost QCs, a legal academic. How could they all be wrong?
Well, Alan, they're not wrong. And this notion,
and they want a special prosecutor appointed to examine the matter.
Yes, because the claim that has been investigated to the nth degree is just, it's untrue. It's simply untrue, and they know it's untrue.
It hasn't been investigated. Just to avoid the argument this is a witch hunt against Kevin Rudd, when you and David Rofe began your audit of all of this 2 years ago, of all the material between 1988 and 2005, Mr. Beazley was leader of the opposition. There wasn't the slightest suggestion that Kevin Rudd ever would be. You weren't investigating this to have a shot at a man who might be Prime Minister. Kevin Rudd was never in the sights.
Perhaps, absolutely not. This is a bit.
But now he's the alternative Prime Minister. You're saying it's even more important that this issue not be ignored.
Well, I mean, how can it? No, it must not be ignored because, you know, there are serious questions hanging over a lot of people in high places around the place. And this is about a pursuit of justice. This is about the question of whether or not executive government is above the law.
That's it. So no one's imputing guilt. We're simply saying these matters warrant an investigation.
Absolutely.
Now, you, for your trouble, have been humiliated, vilified, condemned, ridiculed, called a crackpot, labelled obsessive, your livelihood ruined. Just because as a former public sector union official, you've declared the shredding of this to be an illegal act, and you've got a stack of legal luminaries standing beside you.
Well, I lost my job over this. You know, they charged me for improperly handling this when I challenged the shredding, right? And I got the bloody sack.
Now, in your struggle for justice, you were represented by the former High Court judge just resigned, Ian Callanan.
Exactly.
And so where does this go now?
Well, Alan, I think to court. It's going to go to court.
Well, we'll see.
Because you cannot allow this type of, corruption to go unaddressed.
And it raises questions about the way in which Kevin Rudd discharges office. That's the key issue that people are now talking. It's good to talk to you, Kevin Lindeberg. You hang in there and we'll keep in touch.
Thank you, Alan.
There's a story and a half. Kevin Lindeberg. Make of that what you will.